Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNerd Podcast live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is my buddy Zach Kaplan, founder of Inventables. Hello, welcome.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back in the studio here.
It's great to be back.
I mean, last time I had you in here, I believe you had just given a keynote at TechNori, and I had just acquired TechNori, and things were just sort of like coming together in a fray, and it's been a very successful year on our side, and it sounds to me that it's been quite a successful year on your side.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
So for those of the people who maybe missed that or didn't attend TechNori, if you want to kind of tell us first, what is Inventables?
Sure. So we're a company, we're out in the West Loop, and we make some 3D carving software and machines.
These fidget spinners.
So our machines, we have two, Carvy and X-Carve, can actually make the fidget spinners.
So I actually had a question with that. Like, I look at this thing and I'm thinking, I am not mechanical at all, in case that is not obvious. When I look at this, I'm like, man, this feels like there would be, I don't know, there feels like this would have to be made and then somebody would have to do something, or even if, like, a machine would have to be printed out and there'd have to be something that makes this happen. How does one machine how do you make something like this on a 3D printer?
Yeah, so it's actually a 3D carver.
Okay, so it's not a printer.
Yeah, not a printer.
Okay.
So first you go, we have software that we develop called Easel. It's free. You can go to easel.com, log in, and you can design your own spinner. We actually have a spinner app inside Easel.
Nice.
So if you're not a big design person, you can use the app and just kind of pick the size and shape and the number of bearings that are in there. And then you plug our machine in to Easel. If you don't have a machine yourself, you can go to the Chicago Public Library.
Yep.
And on the third floor, they have a maker lab where you can use it for free.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Chicago Public Library has a maker lab.
Yeah. Third floor. It's
awesome.
How did
they get that past the budget?
So they actually got a grant.
That's how you do that.
And then the Motorola Foundation also pitched in some dollars.
Motorola has been doing some really cool stuff in Chicago lately. I mean, what they've, you know, not that they did not give the building, of course, to M-Hub, but with M-Hub having the old Motorola space, and they left all their stuff there.
Yeah.
So those guys could basically get off. It's just like, how, you know, one of the most challenging things about that kind of, at least, and obviously you know far better than I do, with the makerspace is that it costs a lot of money to have the equipment to even get started. So if you've got a great idea, that's awesome. It's going to cost you $1 million to get going. So now to see what you guys do, as well as to look at like M-Hub and a few others out there, DMDII, that sort of give you this ability to test it out. And I can take an idea to Chicago Public Library and play with it and see what happens.
You can carve it out, yeah. So we also donated some equipment to M-Hub. So,
I saw that.
Yeah, so you can go and in their shop, they've got both the X-Carve and the Carvy. And they've got some folks who will teach you how to use Easel both at the library and at M-Hub.
That is awesome. I've always sort of felt like you're born sort of a maker. It's one of those things, like, you can learn, but the ones who learn, meh, it's like a natural maker. How did you, like, have you always been like Mr. Legos and Lincoln Logs and everything else? Were you always in the space of just making stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I played with Legos, Duplos, every construction. My parents got me every construction toy.
I was going to say, I'm forgetting the name of it right now. What was that major like construction?
Tinker Toys.
That's the one.
Had those. I love those.
I love this stuff, but I would try to build stuff. I swear to God, everything was the Leaning Tower of Italy. Every single thing that I built was a complete disaster. And I'd be like, hey, Mom, look. And she's just like, I don't even know what this is. Like, how do you not know? Like, is that a bottle of water? I don't understand. Like, it's an elephant. Everything's an elephant. So as a kid, then, you're just playing with all this stuff. How does a person get from natural creativity and playing with, you know, toys to where you run Inventables? Like, tell me a little bit about how you got to this point.
Yeah, so like at Inventables, our purpose, our goal, like the way we think about ourselves is we're trying to bring out that maker in all of us. And so really what a lot of those toys did for me growing up was it sort of brought out that maker. It gave me the opportunity to flex those muscles and build towers and knock them over and have
ones that were upright and not leaning.
Yeah, but even if they were leaning, right, that's part of it is like expanding your imagination. And
for sure.
So we're trying to do that with Easel and by making it accessible at the library to give kids that next step beyond, hey, I can build this thing in Legos, or I could go make a real one. Like, you're holding the fidget spinner there. Like, you can
and
do it right now. And use it, yeah.
And using it literally right now.
And so I've actually stood at the Chicago Public Library and just watched as, like, people come in off the street. And it's not just kids. Yeah. There's adults, too.
I've got to imagine that's got to be a pretty cool moment for you watching somebody, like, watching them learn.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I feel like in our education system in general. And, you know, the tech is great, and we talk all the time about the importance of teaching kids to code and Codeverse and all this other stuff. But you don't get to, other than over the shoulder, you don't get to watch people tinker anymore and, like, watch them fail.
Yeah.
And now with Maker and with all of the different 3D printers and carvers and things, like, we're like going back in time, but like doing it technologically savvy, which is cool.
We're bringing it back, but bringing it forward.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely like a tech spin on an old thing, which to me is super fascinating. I got to imagine for you, you've got to sit there and think like, you know, I kind of help make that happen.
So we're trying to bring like a modern software customer experience to technology that was essentially invented in the 50s.
Yeah. So who's your average, like your average customer? What do they look like? Is it a child? Is it, I mean,
yeah. So we have three groups of customers: schools and libraries. So like institutions, sure, where you're doing this in a school, hobbyists, where they're typically older, they've got a house, they got a garage, and they love like woodworking and making stuff. And third is small businesses, where they've got a small business, 1, 2, 3, 4 people, 5 people, and they make a product and they sell it. Whether it's like Studio Neat is an example, where they make that little dock for the Apple TV remote.
Yep.
Those guys are awesome. It's just two guys. They're in Austin. They're designers, so they know the like, design and marketing and stuff like that, and then they use our machine to make physically the product.
But yeah, we had Creighton Berman he was on the showcase last month, and obviously he's at Lost Arts and doing that exact thing. And it's just, to me, I just think it's so cool that you can, like, we always talk about like trying to like, you know, jerry rig something to solve a problem at home.
Mm-hmm.
And now you could literally go on software, learn how to do it and actually become good at it and sell it if you wanted to. But at minimum, you could go and learn how to like solve that problem. Like, no need to fold up paper 55 times and put it underneath your wobbly chair or desk. You could actually make something to like make the desk level.
Yeah. So they actually also have our gear at Lost Arts.
Okay.
Yeah. And Creighton teaches a class on how to start a Kickstarter business.
Smart dude, that guy.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. His manual products are just the coolest things ever.
Yeah, the coffee maker.
And that's, I guess, one of the things I think is so cool about what you do, and not just you, but others in the space, is that you are bringing back, I feel like we get absolutely lost in this world of gadgets and online this and social networks and everything. It's like, I don't even know what the hell to do with myself half the time. And you are bringing back, like Creighton, where he makes, it's a coffee maker. And it's one that you have to actually do the work, which seems like it would be an anti-sell, right? Because we're in this tech world and time is of the essence. But it actually is a huge stress reliever. And it's incredibly, I think, interesting. And now is like a fad, like buying old records. Like we're like going back in time, but we're doing it with a tech spin to make it still, you know, modern.
Yeah, so we think about like 20th century manufacturing. Creighton couldn't participate as like a one-man show. 21st century manufacturing, he can.
Yeah.
Because it's all about networks. It's not about scale.
Yep.
It used to be, oh, we need to make a million.
Yep.
Well, he doesn't make a million.
Yep.
And, oh, we need to put it at retail. Well, he also doesn't put it at retail.
Yep.
And so
it's so fascinating.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, his inventory costs are dramatically lower than a traditional coffee maker. You can't even plug his coffee maker in.
No, there's no electric. So the only problem with his thing is UL doesn't like it, but...
Well, but you can't plug it in, right? Yeah. So he didn't have to go through UL.
No, I know. I mean, like, UL doesn't like because it's not something that they can test.
Oh, to test, right, right, right. But it's beautiful, you. Right?
Oh, my God.
His coffee maker is amazing. And so a lot of these small businesses, they're bringing that beauty and craftsmanship back to the products.
Yep.
That has sort of been beaten out or plasticked out as they tried to drove for cost and
so we kind of talked about this at the showcase, and I'd love to get your take from the standpoint of Inventables and the future of making stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a report that came out, I guess it was this morning, I think, actually. They talked about how Alibaba, as an online store, is actually worth more than any other retail giant on the planet.
Wow.
And so you're talking about an online shopping store is worth more than any of the giant, most large, long-standing legacy retail companies ever.
Yeah.
And that is insane to me. And I think, and my, it's funny, I knew that you were coming on the show, but like my immediate instinct on that was like, I wonder how long that stays before the disruptor gets disrupted. Because I thought of you, I thought of makers, I thought the future of retail may well be that mom and pop actually have an advantage again once, because this leveled the playing field. It took them out, but they can come back, put a maker space or call it community together and make Etsy all day long and have your own brand, your own Creighton Berman brand all day long. You can have a whole street full of them.
That's exactly what's happening. I think in this country we're going from 300,000 manufacturers to 3 million.
But those 3 million
aren't going to look like General Motors and Ford and all these big manufacturers who got scale. They're going to look like Creighton Berman.
Yep. And ultimately, and not to go way into the weeds with this, but like,
yeah.
I feel like, I had a conversation. I'm not sure if you know the folks over at Tacklebox, David Kalbaugh.
Mm-mm.
He was on the show. They do brand marketing and things like that, a lot of brand design and so forth, and they help us out a lot with all of our stuff. But I had a nice conversation with them the other day about how the future of companies, and you're seeing it with Apple, you're seeing it with Tesla and others, is not a product. They don't make a product anymore. It's like, well, you go to DeWalt, you get your screwdriver, like that's our thing. It's going to become brands. DeWalt will be a brand you trust in construction. They'll make all kinds of stuff that have nothing at all to do with what they used to. And what is unique about that, and why I tell you this, is I think of all of these Creighton Berman type makers, and I think they will be a division of a larger brand at some point. If they're selling enough product, they will be bought, and there will still be Creighton Berman in his makerspace making stuff, but it will be owned by X subsidiary company. And I think the future ultimately is that we have a chance, as crazy as it sounds, to actually go back in time and rewrite the record book, or I guess write the ship when it comes to mom and pop brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly exciting to me, and it should be exciting to the economy.
Well, if you look at just retail in general, as our country, we have closed more retail shops this year than we closed last year.
And that's insane. But like, you know, these are, as brand becomes, I guess the point of my little rant there is, as brands become more important,
yeah,
the authenticity of the brand is everything.
Right.
And so I'm going to spend, I got my gadgets, right? I got my phone over here. Apple's got that pretty well taken care of.
Yep.
But all the other things that I use throughout the day,
yep,
it matters more than ever that I can have a unique experience at dinner with my wife, and
yep,
you know, that I can give my child a gift that is something that is me.
Yep.
Because everything else that he gets in the world is just stamped with an Apple on it.
Yep. And so it's giving this opportunity for folks like Creighton, where the products that Creighton make, if you think about what happened when those were proposed at a traditional coffee maker company,
yeah,
they were rejected,
of course,
because the market wasn't big enough.
Yep.
But now lots of Creightons are filling those little niches, and it's eroding this concept of the market.
Which is hilarious, because now you go to those major coffee makers who said no, and now they're all trying to duplicate it, which is hysterical to me. It's like, I was at Williams-Sonoma the other day, and I saw a knockoff of Creighton's, if you remember, his pepper and salt maker.
Yep, yep.
I saw a complete knockoff, and I took a picture of, I was going to send it. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this gigantic billion-dollar company is going to knock off a dude's like Kickstarter campaign? That's brilliant. That's like, you couldn't hang that matzo ball any higher for a marketing campaign. You know what I mean? Just throw it up there.
Yeah.
Incredible. Final notes here. I know you got to get rolling. With Inventables, with this space, where do you see, obviously we talked about where you see the opportunities going.
Yeah.
Where do you see the most importance for people to learn more? Like, what are the areas that you'd like to see ramped up, and the type of person you'd like to see come check it out?
Two places. First of all, anyone who's passionate about this stuff, if you're a maker, if you love this stuff, like, go to Inventables, go to Easel, check it out. And I'd love to see people get out to the Chicago Public Library and actually get their hands and start making stuff. But students, hobbyists, and then small businesses who are looking to make products like Creighton.
Awesome. And you guys have programs and classes and things at Inventables, assume, as well, right?
So we have online. It's called Easel Live. So if you go to Inventables.com and click the projects button, the first section is Easel Live classes.
Yep.
Where there's no edits. It's just full videos, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. We give you all the files. We give you the video. We give you the instructions. And you can get started even if you don't own a machine, even if you don't know anything. You can do the first project along with you. And then your second project, you can iterate it, change it, make it your own.
And then just come into Chicago Public Library.
Chicago Public Library, MHUB, Lost Arts. There's lots of other places.
I'm sure many more to come.
Many more to come.
Very, very cool. Where do people go to learn more about Inventables and to kind of keep track of what you're working on? Because I feel like there's no excuse now for everyone to try this out.
Yeah, so you can go to Inventables.com. You can sign up to our newsletter. We're constantly sending projects from the community to get inspired with like what people are making.
If you want your own fidget spinner, you're going to have to go to Inventables.com.
Yeah, so we just ran a fidget spinner contest, and a couple of YouTubers did some videos. They got like 1.4 million views on these YouTube videos. And then we ran a contest. We got like almost 500 entries of people made all sorts of different spinners. And you can actually go on. It's almost like a new version of a toy store.
Yeah.
And you can make the spinners that the people posted, because you just click open an easel.
Yep.
And then you go to the library and make
talk
your own
about
spinner.
The future. You literally even ran the campaign of marketing via YouTube. I love this. Have you saw the Uptake job application stuff? They put it do you see this? I don't know if you saw
it. No.
Uptake is trying to get new developers, right?
Okay.
So trying to hire people. And they put a code equation on the billboards and like bus stops, and basically like if you crack the code to email them, hired.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It was the coolest thing. I was like, when I had the guys in here, we had Sonny in here. I was like, this reminds me of Goodwill Hunting. It's like crack the code. Who's the big winner today? Zach, thank you so much for taking the time to come in here, and thank you so much for the spinner. I'm already using it. I didn't think I would, but I'm using it already.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Great. Of course, you can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes, and of course, stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, fidgety spinning. That's a wrap.